Ascent Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Experiential Intelligence. Harness the power of experience for personal and business breakthroughs. By Soren Kaplan. Narrated by Jonathan Todd Ross. Introduction.
We need to leave. They're coming to get us.
My mother jarred me out of my sleep with a two-handed shake and shuttled my little sister and me out of the house and into our faded brown two-door 1973 Datsun. Off we went into the darkness. She drove until we reached a house in a neighboring town where she parked. I didn't know where we were, but I felt relieved to see that my mother's intensity had ratcheted down, at least enough that she was no longer shaking. I was 7. I didn't have much choice but to follow my mother's directions. We jumped out of the car, beelining for a space in the hedge the power company had cleared for access to the meter. The three of us hunkered down in this prickly little cave in someone's front yard and waited. We sat for 20 minutes in silence. Like a flash of lightning, headlights lit up the hedge, and another car parked behind ours. "Is that you?" It was my father. I immediately felt safe, but that didn't last long. Just then, the door of the house opened, and a crack of light flooded into the front yard. Out came the charismatic man I recognized as the one who had influenced my parents to drop out of Harvard University and move to California to join his spiritual community. That night, when my father had come home to our empty house, he'd intuited that we would be here. And we were. With an embarrassed shake of his head, my father shuttled us kids into his own car and drove us home, my mother trailing behind alone. That poignant episode became etched into my visceral memory. It was the first time I realized that my mother's infectious fear wasn't based in reality. It wouldn't be until years later that I would understand her behavior as the result of mental illness. But at the time, all I could do was start trying to discern for myself what was real versus what were delusional stories. Not an easy task for a first grader. My challenging childhood required me to navigate a series of unusual circumstances. Yet as difficult as they were, these early experiences fostered my capacity to live with uncertainty, manage ambiguity, and find meaningful patterns in complexity, abilities that have continued to serve me well. When I was 4, my rebellious behavior convinced my parents that I was possessed. For 6 months, they led prayer groups in our home to expel my demon. As my mother spiraled into mental illness, her condition was originally viewed by friends and family as a metaphysical awakening. My father, consumed by his work and spiritual community, was rarely present. As my parents struggled to make ends meet, we bounced around from one home to another. By the time I was 15, I had moved 16 times. So what happens to someone like me? My life could have gone in any of 3 directions. 1. I could have been completely overcome by my circumstances. 2. I could have gone through the motions of leading a normal life while blindly being led by inner scars. Or 3. I could have found a way to tap into my, let's say, unique experiences to take command of my future. For a long time, I did the second one really well. But now, I do the third with decent success. You probably don't share the circumstances of my early life. Most people don't. But you have your own experiences. No matter how big or small, how ordinary or extraordinary, your experiences most likely impacted you in some way or another. My own relatively extreme stories influenced me in ways
that I eventually needed to face head on, and then make choices about what to do with what I found. The process of exploring the positive and negative impacts of my experiences led me to realize that most of us are in the same boat. We all have the opportunity to more deeply understand and then explicitly leverage what we've gained from our life events, whatever they may be. This book shares what I've learned over the years working on myself and working with thousands of leaders around the world so that you can apply the insights and tools I've discovered to yourself, with your team, and for your organization. Growing up, I had to take charge. I assumed responsibilities at a young age that most children never take on. My early life experiences were tough, yet I gained certain things from them that I was able to draw upon later in life. Without being aware of how I did it at the time, I successfully channeled my challenging experiences into personal strengths that led to business success. I tapped into my hidden assets so that, before age 30, I became the leader of a strategy team within a Fortune 500 corporation in Silicon Valley. I founded and ran several companies, including a consulting firm, focused on helping managers from around the world understand how to become better leaders by embracing uncertainty, living with ambiguity, and proactively shaping the future through innovation. I obtained clients like Disney, NBC Universal, 3M, Kimberly-Clark, Colgate-Palmolive, Philips, Cisco, Hershey's, Red Bull, PepsiCo, Lowe's, Medtronic, Ascension Health, Kaiser Permanente, the American Nurses Association, AARP, Cigna, State Farm, and many others. I worked with executives to build business strategies, innovate their products and services, and reinvent their organizational cultures. I've harnessed my own ability to navigate uncertainty by founding several startups, including my latest venture, Praxi.com, a software company focused on digitizing the expertise developed from people's professional experiences and turning it into best practice tools and business processes that anyone can instantly apply to their work. In his book Outliers, Malcolm Gladwell popularized the idea that doing anything for 10,000 total hours, which is about 5 years of doing something full-time, makes someone an expert. The 10,000-hour rule mostly focuses on hard skills, like practicing the violin, working in project management, or doing something technical. In my own case, I spent about 15 years navigating my chaotic childhood, sorting fact from fiction, and seeking patterns to make sense of confusing behavior. It's fair to say that my formal resume began during that time because these are the same things that I've applied in my work life while leading startup teams, managing innovation, and transforming organizational cultures. They're abilities I continually draw upon, especially in my professional life. I didn't acquire them in school, but rather from lived experience. Up until I graduated high school, I spent most of my summers with my grandfather. He was a World War II veteran, a fashion designer in New York City, and a friend of Andy Warhol, Larry Rivers, Man Ray, and many other modern artists in the 1960s, 70s, and 80s. I learned a lot early on about the nature of trauma from his volatile behavior. What seemed like random outbursts at the time, I now know were connected to the PTSD he acquired from his experiences in the war. Despite his trauma, we shared many positive moments together. My grandfather taught me about the nature of creativity. He introduced me to his artist friends. He shared his love of photography with me. He showed me how to look at crumbling buildings, graffiti, and garbage on the streets and in the alleys of New York as beauty, while we took photographs together of the concrete landscape. He gave me insight into the concept of originality
and how new-to-the-world ideas deliver a feeling of positive surprise when people experience them, which in turn grabs attention and inspires word-of-mouth marketing. He showed me how the value of a work of art is a combination of being the first to do something and the unique story of the artist. I learned a lot about what it takes to introduce into the world creative ideas that stick. I put my experiences with my grandfather to use as I went on to formally study innovation in graduate school and then practice it in business. I grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area, the region in Northern California known for welcoming diverse thinking and challenging conventional norms. Within this bubble of progressive culture, my life was intertwined with my parents' alternative spiritual community. In my teenage eyes, I viewed my parents as blindly following the teachings of their guru and his designated spiritual guides that ran their community. They wouldn't make any major decisions without getting approval first. I just couldn't understand how my parents, along with hundreds of others in the group, could lose their way when it came to their free thinking. Unlike my parents, who gravitated to spiritual gurus, early in my professional career I had the unique opportunity to collaborate with several renowned business gurus. I gained insight into how these individuals applied their own unique experiences, combined with deep insights about how the world works, to coin novel concepts and create new approaches for transforming people and organizations. I worked briefly with Gary Hamel, who established the concepts of strategic intent and core competencies, and has been consistently recognized as one of the most influential business thinkers of the last century. I saw how Hamel challenged the status quo at every turn, surfacing assumptions about organizations and leadership that had flown under the radar of even the savviest business executives. I co-founded a company with David Cooperrider, the father of appreciative inquiry, a methodology based in the field of positive psychology focused on business and social transformation through uncovering the inherent strengths of individuals and organizations. I saw how Cooperrider's unrelenting gratitude for life empowered him to see latent strengths within social systems that could be used as catalytic building blocks for positive change in even the most dysfunctional teams and organizations. Over the years, I've also had the opportunity to work with leaders from some of the world's most innovative companies, industry associations, and government organizations as a consultant and through my affiliations with business schools in the United States, Europe, and Australia, which helped me gain insight into the powerful role that culture plays in shaping mindsets and organizations. My personal and professional experiences have helped me recognize that success depends on tapping into our strengths, gaining visibility into our blind spots, and building and deepening relationships with others. And however we define success, it's always about creating the future we want to see for ourselves, our families, our teams, our organizations, our communities, and the world. We can create our desired future more easily when we intentionally draw upon our inherent strengths while overcoming the invisible limitations created by our past. It's not always easy to do, and it can take time to learn to do. Yet when we develop awareness of our strengths, lean into our assets, and move beyond these self-limiting beliefs that hold us back from fully embracing the whole spectrum of what we've gained from our unique experiences, we can tap into and apply a new type of intelligence in our lives. Experiential intelligence. XQ. The experiences that influence us can be big events, even traumatic ones, but they can also be little things that add up over time to shape our thinking and behavior. The opportunity is to embrace our experiences, decipher them, and use them to our advantage. That's what this book is all about. My goal is to use my personal story, along with examples from my work with thousands of executives, managers, and employees, to show you how to uncover and tap into your own hidden assets to achieve your goals. I've written this book to make it simple. It's full of examples to help you see how you have already acquired experiential intelligence just by living your life. Your XQ has given you assets that are ready and waiting to be discovered and used to create your desired future. Sometimes it takes a bit of work to find your hidden strengths, but they're there. To help you find them, I'll show you how I uncovered and then overcame certain self-limiting beliefs that were holding me back both personally and professionally. I'll make connections between my early struggles and how they shaped my mindsets and influenced my adult behavior. I'll demonstrate how to lead with vulnerability, something incredibly hard to do in today's judgmental world, but a critical success factor for personal growth, team effectiveness, business innovation, and healthy organizational cultures. I'll provide you with practical tools that you can use in your own XQ development. Chapters 1 through 3 outline what experiential intelligence is, why it's so important today, and how it relates to IQ, intelligence quotient, and EQ, emotional intelligence. Chapters 4 through 8 describe specific strategies and tools that you can use to further develop your XQ by growing it in yourself, amplifying it in your personal and professional relationships, and assessing it over time. Chapters 9 through 13 highlight how XQ applies in different contexts, including organizations, leadership, teams, and communities. You can access the Experiential Intelligence Toolkit on my website at sorenkaplan.com/XQ Toolkit. The toolkit contains digital copies of most of the templates referenced in this book, along with other resources. I've also made the XQ assessment available so you can assess your own experiential intelligence at sorenkaplan.com/XQ assessment. My goal was to make this book as much of an experience as possible for you, because it's through experience that we develop capabilities and discover opportunities. A final note. Experiential intelligence is a simple, intuitive concept. The idea that our experiences shape our mindsets, abilities, and know-how is a no-brainer. And that's why it's so important. In today's increasingly uncertain world, we need simple ideas to help us understand complexity. The most powerful concepts, like our most powerful personal assets, are often those that, upon deeper inspection, we realize have been hiding in plain sight all along. Today, more than ever, we have an opportunity to recognize that XQ is real intelligence. We all have it. And we can use our experiential intelligence to transform ourselves, our teams, and our organizations for personal and business breakthroughs. Part 1. Understand XQ. Chapter 1. Experiential Intelligence. Companies including Google, Apple, Tesla, IBM, Home Depot, Bank of America, Starbucks, and Hilton no longer require a university degree for an interview. These organizations understand that future success relies on way more than diplomas. For a long time, a person's IQ served as the symbol of intellectual prowess and a general predictor of future achievement. Emotional intelligence, EQ, then expanded our view of what leads to success across business, relationships, and life. EQ elevated our awareness of the importance of tuning into our emotions and the emotions of others for personal and professional growth. People like Maya Angelou, Ellen DeGeneres, Whoopi Goldberg, F. Scott Fitzgerald, Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, Jerry Yang, Mark Zuckerberg, Soichiro Honda, George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, Jeremy Corbyn, Russell Simmons, Rachel Ray, Vidal Sassoon, and Ansel Adams have seen extraordinary success. No college degrees for any of them. At the same time, not all of the wildly successful people I just listed are necessarily known for their off-the-charts IQs, nor are all of them famous for being extraordinarily empathetic, emotionally grounded, or soft-hearted. Some may be more intellectually or emotionally intelligent than the norm, but there are, of course, others who are either smarter or more empathetic. So having a high IQ or EQ doesn't perfectly correlate to success, if you define success in the form of notoriety and achievement. Here's the problem. Even with all the available models and measures, something's missing today that doesn't quite capture how our individual intricacies can, and do, contribute to both success and satisfaction in life. We need a way to understand how everything we've obtained from our unique life experiences, no matter how mundane or significant, holistically contributes to our ability to show up in the world and achieve our goals. We need a way to articulate and justify why we might want to hire someone who's not officially qualified for a job, but who we know will do a great job anyway. We need a way to recognize the inherent wisdom and strength that exist in all of us because of what we've done and experienced in both our personal and professional lives. And we need a way to make the process of understanding, appreciating, and leveraging the power of unique experiences and differences something that we embrace in our teams, organizations, communities, and personal lives. We're on the cusp of a revolution in understanding and articulating what leads to success and satisfaction personally and professionally. We're starting to see organizations, academics, and the popular press recognize that there's a broader way to look at intelligence. We've understood for a while that we need to tap into the intellect to solve problems. We've also embraced the importance of tuning into emotions as an important tool for leading and working with other people. We are just now starting to fully appreciate that, to effectively operate in today's world and adapt to the fast-paced, disruptive changes happening all around us, we need to tap into a different dimension of our intelligence, the intelligence developed out of experience. There's a slang term that touches the surface of this seemingly intangible intelligence: street smarts. Street smarts is usually used to describe people with a lack of formal education to indicate they're actually smart, but not in the traditional sense of the term. They've learned to survive in tough situations. They've developed abilities to do certain things that give them an edge in life. But even the idea of being street smart or having some type of know-how ignores the deeper process that created this intelligence in the first place. It's not just about the hard skills we may develop to do something. It's also about the way we think and the abilities we develop that become part of who we are as people. Experiential intelligence, XQ, is the combination of mindsets, abilities, and know-how gained from your unique life experience that empowers you to achieve your goals. XQ provides a holistic way to understand what's needed for success in today's world by getting in touch with the accumulated wisdom and talents you have gained over time through your lived experience. Certain disciplines recognize the value of experiential intelligence without calling it XQ by name. Extreme users, for example, are people who spend an inordinate amount of time doing something at the extreme edge of what's considered normal. Market researchers like to talk to extreme users because their knowledge of the ins and outs of a topic runs deep from their personal experience, much more so than that of the average person. Think about a teenager who spends hours and hours playing a favorite video game. Perhaps the situation is a nightmare for their parents, but the video gaming teen understands these subtle nuances of the game, its social networks, its underlying business model, and probably more. The teen gamer most likely didn't learn the rules from a printed user guide, but rather from direct experience. Or consider someone who loves coffee so much that they test a new brand every time they go to the store. They experiment with different types of bean grinders and ways to brew the coffee, including French presses, AeroPresses, handheld espresso makers, stovetop espresso makers, coffee bags, pour-overs, and siphons. Extreme users get to know something so well, they become an expert by virtue of their lived experience. And not just an expert that has knowledge, but an expert who innately understands how to do something. Their abilities flow naturally. In my own case, I became an extreme user of sorts, not by choice, but by necessity. My parents met at an event for students who had been awarded scholarships to attend graduate school at Harvard University. It was the late 1960s. My father, driven by his desire to discover the meaning of life, dove into studying theology. My mother, who attended an international high school in the Himalayas and grew up meditating with the monks, was his perfect match. She wanted to understand the common threads underlying the world's religions. The general disillusionment that permeated their generation, combined with their intense impatience with finding their higher purpose, hit them hard. They dropped out of Harvard to live on a commune with the spiritual teacher Richard Alpert, also known as Ram Dass. I was 6 months old at the time. It was there that we met a guy named Danny. Danny was Daniel Goleman, who would later go on to popularize the term emotional intelligence. Goleman introduced my parents to the teachings of an Indian guru named Meher Baba, who became their unwavering spiritual focus for years to come. We moved to California when I was 3 so we could be near other people who followed Meher Baba, like my parents. My father, who worked multiple jobs to make ends meet, and was consumed by his spiritual pursuits at night and on the weekends, was rarely home. Just after my sister was born, my mother's mental illness emerged. Most people couldn't fathom that my mother, who had been valedictorian of her high school, attended prestigious East Coast universities, and was stunningly beautiful with an engaging personality, could become mentally ill. The slow onset of her illness, combined with the interpretation made by my parents' spiritual community that my mother's unusual behavior was an awakening, created a chaotic and confusing home life for me and my sister. Just like how extreme users develop unique mindsets and abilities from their extensive experiences, I gained certain assets precisely because I lived in an unpredictable environment with little structure for many years. As paradoxical as it may sound, the same things that traumatized me in my childhood also delivered unique gifts. My unusual upbringing led me to develop mindsets and abilities to adapt to my situation that still serve me positively in many ways today. At the same time, however, I developed defense mechanisms from the same process of adapting to my environment. I learned to automatically turn off my emotions when they became too uncomfortable. I also adopted a judgmental mindset that influenced my outlook on the world. That if others didn't do things like I would do them myself, then they were doing them wrong. My judgment of others protected me from my fear that I was going to be judged by others for my mother's odd behavior and my family's affiliation with a fringe spiritual group. I blocked off my emotions while creating a black-and-white view of the world. As a result, for many years, my compartmentalization created barriers to my self-awareness, and ultimately my personal and professional success. It took effort and some time. But once...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?